Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In a month from this day, most people in the world will say to each other, Happy New Year. I've already broken the ice today for us. And for us, we can say it today. We have at last reached the beginning of a new liturgical year, and the colors have gone from the green of Trinity to the violet of Advent, the color of the penitential season, the color of royalty as well, as we meditate on the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ and anticipate his second coming, and even today, his coming to Jerusalem. We use the church year and the passage of the seasons as a way of sanctifying time and as a means to rehearse the whole gospel over and over through all the gospel being true every day of every year. We also now set ourselves to know again the longing and urgency of a season like Advent, the arrival of Christ. To know again this longing and urgency of Advent anew, we need to rise up together to the proverbial 10,000 feet and look down on our situation. To get that perspective, we consider the epistle which is appointed for this day from St. Paul's letter to the Romans. He begins with a summary of the law. Love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. That's an enormous claim. All 613 of the laws and commandments of the Old Testament are briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. The straightforwardness of that one law, love, is quite astounding. It is a simplicity that points back again to something like the simplicity of Eden. And to know our situation this Advent, we should look all the way back to the beginning, to Adam. The sense that the scriptures give of the relationship between Adam and God in the beginning was that it was free, unrestricted, and simple, like the law of love. Sounds pretty nice. St. John of Damascus describes Adam wearing God as a glorious garment, that he was wrapped about in grace, that the indwelling God was Adam's dwelling place, and that he was nourished by the sweet fruits of the trees of the garden like the contemplation of God. Adam and Eve enjoyed pure life, simple, free, unrestricted by death. But Adam swallowed the bait of a deception, the hope of his own divinity independent of God. And when he fell for that, he fell indeed. All the rest of us fell with him as well into separation from God and sin, where they once wore light and life and the very presence of God. Adam and Eve covered themselves then with dead things, leaves taken from plants, skins of dead animals. Adam had brought spiritual and physical death upon himself and upon us also. This is the origin of the longing of Advent. Knowing that we once wore God as a garment, and now we wear death and darkness, we want that relationship back. The degree to which sin has separated us from God has filled the world with anxiety. Our very nature is marred and separates us from the rest, from our rest in God. So many of our worldly endeavors bear the marks of that fall and that anxiety as failed attempts to quiet it and to satisfy the longing. We may not be thieves, we may not be lechers, we may not be felons, we may not be criminals, but what we share with those who are is a fallen human nature, and we must not also be confused about our cure, as so many people have been. The great confusion remains for us, as with Adam and all who follow him, the lure of independence. Our cure has never been and never will be self-reliance. Sin and death are the problem, and it is a bigger problem than we can handle on our own, though we are tempted always to look out at life and try to stand on our own. We are in desperate, longing need of Savior and of help. If you put down a pile of building materials in front of a row of power tools and say to the power tools, I want you to build a house. I'm going to go away for a time, and when I return, I expect to see it finished. You would not say that it will be difficult for the tools to build the house. You will say that it will be impossible for the tools to build the house. The tools can think, if they can think, the tools can think whatever they want about themselves. But until the carpenter comes to do the work, the house is not going to be built. We are like those tools. We are broken and sinful humans. We don't have the ability to heal ourselves in that way. The illusion of self-reliance was what brought death into the human race in the first place. What we need is for an advent to happen. We need God to arrive, to come to us. Only the Creator is able to heal his creation, as only the carpenter is able to build the house. What we need is to be healed from within. We need our Creator not only to clothe us again, but to take us into himself. As Gregory of Nazianzus said, for that which he has not assumed into himself, he has not healed. But that which is united to his Godhead is also saved. If only half of Adam fell, then that which Christ assumes and saves may be half also. But if the whole of his nature fell, it must be united to the whole nature of him that was begotten, and so be saved as a whole. And that is the hope of Advent, for the Creator to take our flesh upon himself and fully heal our human nature from within, to thrust open the doors of heaven for us and make it possible to be clothed with God's presence again. At the Incarnation, this is precisely what happens. In the one person of Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man, we are healed. The Scriptures seem to say that this is already done, and yet there is much work to be completed. What remains is for his atonement. What remains is for our cooperation, to cast off works of darkness as we put on Christ in the time that we've been given. And so, back to our epistle for more perspective. Paul goes on from this simplicity of love to exhort the church in Rome with the urgency of Advent. And so the question is, if a way has been made for us again to be clothed with God, what is it that we're still wearing? The light has come into the world and we still wear darkness. The means of reunion with God has been made available to us and we remain in sin. Paul says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. In cooperating with God to put on that new armor, the dead clothing has got to go. The light of the world has arrived, and our salvation is here. St. Augustine of Hippo was one of the greatest saints and scholars of the church, but he too was a great sinner. Even as he drew closer and closer to Christ, he said that his resistance remained. And though his chains grew weaker, he was still held by his sin. He both hated and loved his sin. Indeed, he was tortured in his spirit about his weak will and his restless heart. and the war that went on within him. In his confessions, he gave the account of his conversion, where he was confronted by the same passage that we've read from St. Paul in his letter to the Romans. Very same passage. St. Augustine writes, "My inner self was a house divided. I was my own contestant." I love that. "I felt that I was the captive of my sins, and in my misery I kept crying, 'How long shall I go on saying tomorrow, tomorrow? Why not now? Why not make an end of my ugly sins at this moment?' I was asking myself these questions, weeping all the while with the most bitter sorrow in my heart, when at once I heard the sing-song voice of a child in a nearby house. Again and again it repeated the refrain, 'Take and read, take and read.' I opened my book of scripture and read the first passage on which my eyes should fall." And you're not supposed to do that, by the way, because it could fall on some passage in Leviticus about boiling a goat in its mother's milk or something. But when the Lord is involved, as he was here, St. Augustine said he opened his scriptures to the first place his eyes fell, and it was this: "Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and in drunkenness, not in chambering and in wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." I had no wish to read more, and no need to do so. What about us? The Savior is arriving, and he comes to clothe us with himself, to wrap us about in grace, an indwelling God who would be our dwelling place. What shall we do with our works of darkness that resist the light of day? Drag them out into the light. We're beginning a penitential season today. There's no better time. This is Advent. The Savior is arriving. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Cast off the works of darkness that remain and put on the armor of light. Put on Christ and make no further provision for the flesh. We have heard today of his coming to Jerusalem with cries of Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. But there is a day coming where Christ will return, his second advent. And we stand in awe of that final judgment and the perfection of our faith. Jesus says no one knows the hour, but he gave us work to do in the meanwhile, saying, "Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." Almighty God, give us grace that we may cast away the works of darkness and put upon us the armor of light now in the time of this mortal life, in which thy Son Jesus Christ came to visit us in great humility, that in that last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge both the quick and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal, through him who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, now and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.